This is the UTG podcast, and once again, I have Paul McCauley with me. Welcome, Paul.
Thanks, Stephen.
And we're continuing to chat about the series of articles that is on the Understanding the Gospel website at understandingthegospel.org. They're under the Good Book series written by Paul, and they deal with some of the issues raised in opposition, mainly about the Bible and its credibility, its integrity, and some of the issues that we've dealt with, for example, the issue of slavery and gender and oppression and so forth. We're dealing today with this question: is the Bible weird? Now, the reason in your article, Paul, that you mention this is you start off by saying this: don't eat pork or shellfish, don't wear clothes of mixed fabrics, don't sow your vineyard with different kinds of seed. And I like this one because I notice you do now have a beard. And don't shave the edges of your beard. And you basically say this is a sample of the commands God gives in his Old Testament law, and they strike us today as being, well, quite weird. So two issues you raise in your article that I would like us to chat about today, if possible. And it's this: are these commands in the Old Testament part of the Bible for us today? And secondly, are the commands that are forever, or were they restricted, not just in terms of who they were for, but the length of time they were for? And you really deal with both of these things in your article. So let's dig into these. And the first question is, are these kind of weird type commands, are they for everyone? And were they for everyone?
Well, the thing that we need to see is that these commands, Stephen, were never intended for the nations. There was God's moral law, which is written on the hearts of everyone, according to Romans 2. Everyone knows the moral demands of God's law, and everyone is accountable to keep those moral demands.
Would that be, for example, that wherever you go in the world, even if they've never had a Bible, there is a common understanding, for example, that murder is wrong?
That's right.
And so forth. These, is that what you're speaking about?
That's right. And God holds nations accountable. And in fact, he speaks about the moral abominations the Canaanites were doing and said, it's for this reason, it's because of these things that I'm expelling them from the land. They were being punished for their sins. They were never being punished for eating pork or shellfish.
Yeah.
Those ceremonial commands were never binding on anyone other than the nation of Israel. And the reason for that, I think, is this: God selected Israel as a nation through which the Messiah, the Savior, was going to come. And it was vital that this nation of Israel was kept separate and distinct from the nations around. They had to maintain the purity of their God-given religion. They also had to ensure that the genealogies, the integrity of the genealogies to prove the Messiah. So God wanted, until the Messiah came, God wanted the nation of Israel to be kept distinct. And so there were all of these ceremonial laws that God gave that enforced and emphasized over and over again this lesson of don't mingle, keep yourselves distinct. And so when we look at some of these laws that seem a bit strange, they were object lessons, they were pictures of the need to keep things distinct.
So was there a bigger issue at stake than, for example, mixing clothing or mixing foods and so on? What I'm taking from your article and also from our conversation is that God gave Israel as a nation with a special relationship with himself to reflect that special place they had in the world, that they would see that in their diet and in their behavior and their structures, their social structures, which would mark them out as being distinct, not better, and not actually better by doing these things, but they were a declaration, an indication of their status.
And in every sphere of life, so when they put their clothes on, when they went out to their work, in all of these things, they were having this reminder again, keep separate, don't mix.
So God isn't saying don't eat shellfish, and somehow if you don't eat shellfish, I can't even say that, that you would be somehow pleasing to God today. That's
no,
a total
that is
misunderstanding.
That's right. And the whole thing about animals being classed as clean and unclean, I mean, it's an interesting thing, and I think we have to have a wee bit of humility. People today should just be a bit more reluctant to classify the Bible as weird just because they don't understand things. I mean, we're far away, both in terms of time and distance, and I think we should have people should have a bit more of a humble attitude towards the Bible. Scholars who have looked into this have suggested quite a few interesting reasons why certain animals would be classed as clean and unclean. And the forbidden animals were animals that were either predatory, or they were animals that fed on unclean things, or they were animals that exhibited a lack in some symbolically significant way. So again, we're getting object lessons here. In the Bible, eating is symbolic of what you feed your mind on, what shapes your character. And so God's saying, I don't want you to be predatory. I don't want you to feed on unclean things. And I don't want you to exhibit lack defects in your character. So I think all that's interesting and helps us understand why God would give these laws. All of these things were object lessons.
And these laws, I take it, I mean, it's often referred to as the Mosaic Law, yeah, given by a man called Moses, and given by God to him for the nation of Israel that he was leading. And we were seeing that there was to understand them, you can't just look at them superficially, mm-hmm, that there was a spiritual significance, not in them as, you know, if I do this, mm-hmm, it has, you know, some change to me. Yeah. But it was a good lifestyle. It was a good way to structure society to bring these lessons and object lessons. So the question, the second question that you deal with in your article is that are these laws in the Old Testament forever? Mm-hmm. Or was there a particular period of time in history that these were applicable for? So that, for example, if someone reads the Bible today, and they start reading in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, mm-hmm, and these books, which are not perhaps the books you would recommend, mm-hmm, someone to begin, yep, looking at the Bible. But if you turn to these Bible, someone might get the impression, oh, God wants me to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, in 2021, 2022, I need to adopt this practice, uh-huh, in order to please God. Yeah. What would you say to that?
I would say that they're too late. These ceremonial laws have served their purpose. So if we think they were intended to keep the nation of Israel distinct from the nations around until the Messiah came, well, the Messiah has come. Also, a lot of these things were intended, when you think of the Levitical sacrificial system and all of that, all of these things are actually, they're beautiful pictures of the Lord Jesus. And there's wonderful truth contained in them, giving us glimpses of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ has come, so those things have served their purpose, and that old covenant has been brought to an end by the Lord Jesus.
I think one of the, and I'll focus in on this, is one of the interesting aspects of this is that as part of that Old Testament law, there was a sacrificial system in place which involved animal sacrifice. And these animals were sacrificed regularly. It was a very prescribed sacrificial system. Yet when you come into the New Testament, you don't read about that. Mm-hmm. But you do read about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is described in sacrificial, mm-hmm, terminology. Some, mm-hmm, of the titles given to him refer back to these sacrifices. And is that an illustration of how the Old Testament was looking forward to what's been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament?
That's it. That's its whole purpose. Paul says in Galatians, the law was a schoolmaster until Christ came. So there's object lessons being given. There are little pictures and illustrations, and all of these find their wonderful fulfillment in Christ. So the Lord Jesus isn't just the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Bible. He's the fulfillment of the pictures. He's the fulfillment of the ceremonies. It all points to him, finds its fulfillment in him, and is complete in him. It served its purpose.
And so when you look back from a New Testament perspective, you can see so much about the Lord Jesus is pictured and explained. Mm-hmm. And if you look through, you know, if you look back as opposed to forward, mm-hmm. it does give a better understanding of what these things were all about.
That's right. So although these ceremonial aspects of the law aren't binding on anyone today, they're not irrelevant. And there's wonderful truth for us to learn from them about Jesus Christ, about how God wants us to live morally. We can draw lessons from these ceremonies.
I remember someone saying that the Old Testament is not all about us, but it is all for us. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. we can learn so much from it, even although it's not necessarily for us to implement. That's interesting, Paul. Thank you for that. And hopefully, if you take the time, you'll discover that Paul expands this in his article on the Good Book series. And our next podcast is going to be our last podcast on this series, where we wrap up our consideration of these articles that Paul's written. Let me just again recommend, I do this in every podcast in this series, recommend that you actually take the time and go and find the articles and read them. That you will find it helpful and instructive. And if you've got any issue that you've heard in any of these podcasts, you'll find it's expanded in some detail in the articles. So thank you again, Paul, for being with me today.
Appreciate it, Stephen.
And thank you for listening to the UTG podcast.